Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, and we will have with us this hour Dr. Ron Tarner to talk about an article written by Stephen Hawking on what mystifies him, women. Interesting. And Stephen Hawking is an interesting and, I must say, a fascinating man when you consider what he's lived through and been through and what he's achieved. So that's coming up. A little more on Kanye West, probably. And some thoughts on the new head coach at Penn State. He is the former offensive coordinator at the New England Patriots, Robert.
Yeah, if God's name is O'Brien, and he was an offensive coordinator, they had taken over at Penn State. Stepping into some big shoes, you know.
Well, he's stepping into the big shoes of Joe Paterno, but he's also stepping into a situation. I got to ask myself, what did that cat promise them, and what promises did he get from them?
Yeah, he doesn't want to have no child molesters around there.
Well, no kidding, you know. And what assurances is he going to get? And, you know, and other thoughts we'll have. So we'll share that with our audience, too. And a technical note, our phone system is kaput tonight. It's not kaput, but it's tonight it's kaput. It ain't working, man. So we got one line, right, Robert?
Oh, I don't know, bud.
Yeah, we got one line. We can bring in Dr. Ron Tarner, but that about it.
Okay. 877-8... So what am I giving the phone number out for? Anyway, the phone lines, like I said, are down. They're intermittent. We'll get it fixed. Don't worry about it. Phil Hendry Show. All right. We also were showing here on Phil TV and HD. If you do have Phil TV and HD, you are looking at the lower teeth of Kanye West. They are all diamonds. And he told Ellen DeGeneres, no, I didn't have my lower teeth coated with diamonds or covered with diamonds. I had my lower teeth pulled, and I had diamonds put into. You see, I think that as an artist, you're into artistic things, and maybe you're going to make your body like an art piece. Okay, that's cool, and I understand that. Now, there was a guy called the Mad King, and he lived a long time ago. Do you know the guy I'm talking about, Robert?
I only saw a couple things about it.
Well, this guy was so nuts that he did a lot of kooky things. He built weird-looking castles and strange-looking houses, and that's fine. But when you give a guy like that power over people, see, when a guy's nuts and he has the money to make all kinds of crazy-looking stuff, there's nothing wrong with that. I think it's great, you know. Knock yourself out, man. Whatever you want to do, it's your money. Do it. But then when you give that guy a sense that he also is, well, you know, something. I think that this art stuff is fine, but I don't know. I'd like to run a company someday. And when then you start getting nervous, you're like Kanye. Kanye, that's very nice teeth. No, that's just the beginning. The teeth are just the beginning, because what I'm going to do from here, man, you don't even want to know. No, I don't. So. It's as they say, it's all good, you know. All right, so we have a situation with this new coach in New England. His name is O'Brien. Oh, I know what I want to say. Please watch us on Phil TV and HD and get your backstage pass. We're at philhendryshow.com. That's it.
Yeah.
All right. So this new guy in New England, the man's name is Bill O'Brien. He's the former offensive coordinator with the New England Patriots, and he has taken this job as head coach of Penn State. Now, I think that that is a fine, fine decision to make on the surface, but I just wanted to kick around with you guys something. Because you might say, well, somebody's got to do the job, you know, Joe Paterno's gone, someone needs, okay, so whatever, you know. Well, it's not exactly like that, because Bill O'Brien agreed in principle to become the new Penn State coach, according to multiple news media outlets. Patriots coach Bill Belichick said that O'Brien missed practice Thursday, but he declined to elaborate on O'Brien's future with the team. Joe Linda, O'Brien's agent, declined to comment. The Penn State search lasted 8 weeks since the university fired Joe Paterno in the wake of a sexual abuse charges against the former defensive coordinator Jerry Sandusky. Now, I don't want to be, I don't want to become just this nitpicking talk show host, you know, but, when did they start the search? So in other words, you've got a problem here. You've got a coach, legend's been fired. You've got another guy that's been arrested for molesting children. You've got charges. You may have lawsuits, and still you're pressing ahead looking for a football coach. Now, yes, that's a job that needs to be filled if you're going to have a season.
What, you're saying they're not going to have a season?
I'm saying that all I'm saying is this. What Penn State's been charged with is so serious. Penn State now, forget about whether it's just, the whole school is on the line here. is so serious that if I were the university president, I would put every single ounce of effort into righting that wrong and righting that ship. And no, I don't think that looking for a football coach would be a number one priority. But you know what? I'm digressing here. Whatever. The point that I'm trying to make is, here's a guy, O'Brien. He's not a household name in college football. He sure as hell is not a household name, I don't think. In pro football, you know Bill O'Brien is the offensive coordinator of the Patriots, but the guy that gets named all the time is Bill Belichick. Don't even worry about it. Don't tell me. You got to be a stone-ass fan to really be, you know, just loving Bill O'Brien. He goes down there to Penn State. Now, there's a couple of scenarios. One is, I really want this job. This is my chance. This is what I've been looking for. A head coaching job at a major football program will put me on the map, man, because if I win down there, next stop, I got a head coaching job in the pros.
Yeah, but you got a head coaching job as offensive coordinator.
You get a head coach in the NFL.
Yeah.
You get a head coaching job as an offensive coordinator in the NFL, maybe. Maybe not. Maybe he wants the credibility of the rep or the pub of being the head coach of a major college program, so that when it does come time to hire a coach in the NFL, this guy has got all kinds of major credentials. Offensive coordinator for a Super Bowl championship team, head coach at a Big 12 school, Penn State, kicking ass, taking names. Now, if the guy's smart, he goes down to Penn State and he says, I really want this job. It's one of the most coveted jobs in college football, but you guys have got a few problems, you know. Well, yes, that's, of course, Bill, we do. You know, you got some problems here. We understand that, Bill. I can't be taking over a football program where I got some creeps running around here doing the stuff that this guy was accused of doing. No, we understand, and we're taking steps. And again, now another decision. Do I take them at their word? Do I ask them what else they're doing? See what I'm saying? How bad do you want the job?
What are you saying? You said a guy shouldn't take the job?
I'm not saying that. I'm just wondering. And I, you know, he knows what he's... I'm just wondering if he really knows what he's stepping into. I would never question a man's intelligence. And it really isn't about intelligence. Sometimes what blocks us, or what blocks our ability to see, you know, down the road, is our ambition. So now he's down there. He says, they got a lot of weird asses running around here. I want to make sure that they're, fired.
Yeah, they're going to fire them.
Well, okay, now hold on for just a second. If this guy O'Brien's coming in there as the new head coach, if I'm him, and I'm not him, but I'll bet you I got money that says, the first thing he's saying is, well, I don't want any of these creeps hanging around. Get this McCready, all of these guys, gone.
You got to fire all the coaches?
Fire every last one of them.
I don't know, man.
Well, of course. Of course. Are you nuts? Fire every last one of them. Thank you, gentlemen. I'm not saying your child. I'm not saying anything. I got to bring my own guys in. I'm sure you understand. Thank you. And, it's been a beautiful thing. Whatever. However Penn State wants to put it, you know, we're not accusing you guys. It's a new coach. And I think those assistants on the Paterno staff ought to know that.
Yeah, well, a lot of those guys with Paterno for a lot of years. Like, you talk about that McQuarrie guy.
Well, McQuarrie is going to have to just face the music, man. You're done. You are not going to be coaching on that football team. And if this O'Brien, there's no way. Now, that's what I would say. Now, what do you think Penn State says back to him?
They'd say yes.
Maybe. Maybe they say yes, except for this guy and this guy and this guy. We got to keep these guys. Well, wait a second, man. Well, we've got deals with these guys. You got deals with them. So do you understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but the story says here that he agreed in principle. And that basically means that they've got, you know, that they figured it out.
I don't know what in principle means. Yes, I'd like to be coach of Penn State. Yes, I want the job. Okay? Does that mean that they've got everything, all the T's crossed and the I's dotted? Does that mean that all of the things that we've just been talking about, they've talked about and they've done? I don't know, man. And, if I'm this guy, I'm just saying, if I'm this guy O'Brien, these are the questions that I would have. And I don't know what Penn State would say to me. I don't know what Penn State thinks they can get away with. I personally, I don't know what Penn State's doing or not doing, who they think they are or who they think they're not, whether they've actually been chastised by this experience, whether, But they're going to have to, number one, if they want a good coach, they're going to have to let him call the shots. Number two, keep him as clean from all the other stuff that they're dealing with as they can. He doesn't, none of it touches him, and none of it touches the football program. Okay? And that means every last coach, everybody, gone.
Yeah, but there's guys that have been there for a long time. Like, what about the guy that carries the towels and stuff?
What are you talking about, the towels?
Like the equipment guy.
Gone. Get rid of all of them. If they're all Paterno hires, gone. You know, that's just what I'm saying. And since his arrival in New England, O'Brien has been mostly anonymous assistant coach. Other than orchestrating the offense and serving as Tom Brady's quarterback coach, O'Brien may be best known for the sideline screaming match he had with Brady in a game at Washington last month. That was Bill O'Brien screaming at Brady. If you remember that video clip. That moment gave a window into O'Brien's fire. A Massachusetts native, he's known for his strong presence in the Patriots' locker room and in meeting rooms. That's it. He's never been a head coach, but the Penn State job will be about much more than coaching the team. The new coach will have to re-engage a fan base and rebuild trust in the wake of the Sandusky scandal. And by the way, you know, I'm sure the first question he asked was, you know, would you like to be the... I'm sure they asked him, would you like to be the coach of Penn State? Yes, I would, but I have a question. Well, what was that? What would that question be? How many kids are gone, man? How many kids committed to you and now wouldn't touch you with a 10-foot pole? In other words, what am I looking at recruiting-wise? What's the story? Well, you know, no, not well, you know. How many guys have said no thank you to Penn State? I got to know what I'm up against. Bill O'Brien's asking this question. I got to know what I'm up against when it comes to recruiting for the school. I mean, just exactly how much does this situation stink? So
that's a pretty good breakdown of situation, Mr. Andrew. Better get going to get a Ron Tarner.
Yeah, I get that. I'm going to go to Ron Tarner. Thank you very much. You don't have to keep pushing me along.
He knows he's got to go to Ron Tarner.
Yeah, but he may go into the next segment talking about it.
Don't worry about it. We'll be right back. We got Dr. Ron Tarner coming up here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
Truth, God, bud, is our bitch. The yeah. Phil Hendry Show.
Dr. Ron Tarner's hanging on.
Good. Let him hang.
This is the world-famous... Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, our El Pacifico broadcast here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and we go anywhere, everywhere to, you know, to whatever the hell it is we do.
Thank you, places that are talk shows can't take you.
Exactly. Thank you, bud. All right, Dr. Ron Tarner is going to join us from the University of Denver here in a moment. The story is, what mystifies Dr. Hawking women? This is from Science Museum via Reuters. Physicist Stephen Hawking has decorated his office at the University of Cambridge with all kinds of bare-ass women. I'm kidding. No, get out of there, bud.
Just see if you're lying enough.
Get out of there. Don't grab the news copy from me. I'll belt you. I'm kidding. No, he has decorated Stephen Hawking, the famed physicist, the Nobel Prize-winning physicist, has decorated his office at the University of Cambridge with Simpsons memorabilia and a prominent portrait of Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, yeah. Is she nude?
I don't know if she's nude. Hold on. As famed physicist Stephen Hawking turns 70, the subject that most occupies his thoughts is not how the universe arose from nothing. It's how his... thing is going to arise from nothing. Grab the paper, man. I'm kidding. He didn't say that. It's not how the universe arose from nothing as he turns 70. The subject that most occupies his thoughts is how he's been able to live with neurodegenerative disease for so long. No, that's not how what occupies his thoughts. Here's what he thinks about most. Women, they are a complete mystery, he says.
Probably talking about how come he gets so many dates. Being stuck to a hover round.
Yeah, no kidding.
Give each other a high five on that, okay? Just shut up. That's the bottom line from New Scientist's interview with Stephen Hawking, timed to coincide with this weekend's birthday celebration at Cambridge. The theorist is almost completely paralyzed due to the decades-long struggle with the amyotrophic lateral sclerosis disease that we all know as Lou Gehrig's disease. And he's had to provide his answers by laboriously twitching his cheek to operate a computerized speech translation system, if you can imagine that. Hawking also listed what he saw as his biggest blunders in science. His now repudiated insistence that information was destroyed in black holes. The most exciting development in physics during his career, the discovery of the Big Bang's imprint in cosmic microwave radiation. And the potential discovery that would do the most to revolutionize our understanding of the cosmos, the discovery of supersymmetric particles of the Large Hadron Collider. I don't know. Don't ask me. We'll get Dr. Ron Turner on the line right now from the University of Denver to talk about that and more with us. We've got plenty of time for you, Dr. Turner, and we do thank you for being on the line with us. How are you this evening?
Phil, I'm doing very well. I appreciate the opportunity to speak about Dr. Hawking.
You don't know him personally, do you?
I don't know Dr. Hawking personally, but I've been in several symposiums and discussion seminars and conclaves where he has been present and have exchanged the papers, and, as we all do. I've been published. He's been published. He gets published a lot more than I do. As you know, here's a man who's published and is respected by a great many people, and he's talking about women. And I don't know what that means, and I don't really know why we would be talking about him being preoccupied by women, but it is an opportunity for me to communicate something that I've been communicating on your program for a long time, and I wish to continue to communicate, and that is that Stephen Hawking, you know, Phil, I'll put it as gently as I can, but in a terminology that I think you and your audience can understand. Stephen Hawking would blank a bush if he thought a snake was in it. And
all right, okay, all right, hold on for a minute.
No, I'm not trying to...
No, hold, just hold on, because that's a little crude.
No, it is not, because I...
Well, you're saying he would blank a bush if he thought a snake was in it is a very crude and street-level thing to say, Dr. Turner. And
no, excuse me, I did not use the four-letter terminology.
No, I understand that, but I think it's extremely... Are you telling me that the guy is a hound? Is the guy a slut? Is he a man whore? Is this what you're saying?
Well, it's very interesting to me that you took grave exception to me saying that he'd blank a bush if he thought a snake was in it, but you get to use the term man whore.
Well, I think it's descriptive, and it's a little less, call it an opinion on my part, but unfortunately I have to, you know, make these decisions.
All right, that's fair enough. But I would say that Stephen Hawking, through most of his life and most of his career, unfortunately, during that part of his career when he had and continues to have such great prominence, yes, he is out bird-dogging you-know-what as often as he's doing anything else. And
well, you're basically telling me that the guy's always out hunting up women.
Well, he's not out hunting up women the way you and I might imagine that or have ourselves in our lives because of the state of his health. And that, of course, has also been something that I've not been shy in communicating, and that is I've never seen anyone, in my life, have I ever seen anyone use Lou Gehrig's disease to get laid. And you know,
well, again, I...
What did I say? I'm being very clear.
No, yeah, all right, okay.
See, Phil, the problem you're having is the same problem that everyone else has. Oh, my goodness, you're talking about Stephen Hawking. Don't talk about him this way. But I have been involved in scientific circles since 1976, and just as I was going to break out and publish a paper that I had worked on quite closely with Dr. John Callahan and Serge Gaborik from the Institute in Moscow, and this was on multiples, on the idea that universal multiples transitional universal multiples at the instance of the Big Bang were responsible for the creation of matter. That paper never saw the light of day because Stephen Hawking found a way to get laid, even though all he could do is twitch his cheek. And
all right, hold the line here. We got Dr. Ron Turner on the line with us. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back, and I apologize. Dr. Turner has a way of expressing himself that is just a little rough for my ears and maybe for yours. We'll continue this discussion with Dr. Stephen Hawking and women. That's what mystifies him the most on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
For the record, women don't mystify me.
I understand.
Phil Hendry. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And again, my apologies, ladies and gentlemen. The phone system in our control center, in our control room at Talk Radio Network is not functioning. It is not working. It was intermittent. My understanding was by intermittent, it had dropped. It was dropping full phone calls and doing it quite frequently within a 30-minute span. And so as a result, the phone company up there in where our control center is located, and if you guys in the phone company can hear me, you know, we need to get that fixed, all right? Our number is, well, what am I going to give the number out?
You always do that. You see the phones are broken, but here's the phone number.
Yeah, you're right. It's ridiculous. All right, anyway, Dr. Ron Turner on the line with us. At least we have one phone that works, Dr. Turner.
That's my good fortune, Phil. I'm sorry to hear you having those problems.
No, it's fine, and we're able to talk to you here. We are talking to Dr. Ron Turner from the University of Denver about Stephen Hawking. And Stephen Hawking's recent interview with Science, New Scientist magazine, in which he says the one thing that still mystifies him, women. Here's the one thing he thinks about most. Women, they're a complete mystery. And then he goes on to talk about some of his biggest blunders.
I think he's being very kind to himself. He says, well, my biggest blunder was when he insisted that information was destroyed at black holes. I can't even begin to imagine how embarrassed he must have been to say something that very bizarre thing to say. But again, sitting in that chair and, you know, having that twitching cheek at the endorsement deal with Hoover on it.
We don't have any. I don't know why you say that. We don't have any information that he has an endorsement deal with Hoover on.
Well, all right. But the point is that I think he gets away with an awful lot. And if people only do.
Well, you have contended since you've been on this show many times, Dr. Turner, that Stephen Hawking is a hound. You know, he's a blank hound, and the guy is on it morning, noon, and night. And he's constantly looking for women and constantly betting women. I don't know how that works.
Well, you don't have to know how. It doesn't have to work that way. With Stephen Hawking, he will, with his celebrity and with his mind and whatever else he's able to do, and I haven't been able to figure it out. If I could figure it out, believe me, God forgive me for saying this, because I've got a son and who I want to raise as a decent man. But if I could figure out what Stephen Hawking is doing to attract so many women, God forgive me, but I'd probably do it myself. And God forgive me for that. But
Come on. God forgive you. You're just talking like a man.
No. I'm talking like Stephen Hawking, who will stop at nothing, in my opinion, to be intimate with as many women as he possibly can in as short a period of time as he possibly can. And again, I will say, I've never known anyone who has been able to use Lou Gehrig's disease to their advantage when it comes to sex. And I mean adventurous, liberal sex.
How do you know? How do you know these things?
Well, you know, Phil, you're laughing. And
well, when you say that when it comes to liberal, adventurous, you even know how... You know,
yes, I do, and I don't find any of it a laughing matter. I'll tell you why.
It's very funny when you say that Stephen Hawking is the only guy you've ever known to be able to use Lou Gehrig's disease to procure liberal, adventurous sex.
You know, good night.
Oh, boy, did he really hang up?
Yeah, he did.
Why? Because I'm laughing about Stephen Hawking?
Yeah, he takes it real serious, man.
Well, I know he takes it serious. How serious can you possibly take it? Yeah, there's something wrong with that guy. I'll tell you that right now. There's something wrong with him.
Well, I mean, you know, he just to try to say about Stephen Hawking and everything.
I know what he was saying, bud. But for him to hang up on me because I was laughing, it's a pretty amusing thing to say. Here's a guy that's been able to turn Lou Gehrig's disease in his favor so he can get, you know, some really randy, adventurous sex out of women. Good God.
I know what you're saying. I mean, I'm not saying I disagree. But I think you got to know Dr. Turner.
Oh, get out of here with knowing Dr. Turner. You know, I'm getting sick and tired of people with their feelings, you know? Everybody with the soft feelings. What is he, called back? Everybody calls back on the show. I can't believe it. They hang up and they call back.
Yeah, I got him on, too, if you want to talk to him.
Ron.
Yeah, and another thing, Phil. I heard what you said about how you're sick of people's feelings. Are you sick of your feelings? Would you like me to talk to you about how would you feel if I got into a discussion of your mother's sexual habits? And
what has that got to do with, huh?
What do you mean, huh?
What does my mother have to do with Stephen Hawking and his in your view of him as a sexual animal?
Your mother doesn't have anything to do with it.
Then why would you bring her into it?
Because it's a very sensitive topic for you.
To be honest with you, I don't think about it until you brought it up just now. But yes, now that you mention it, it is.
All right. Well, guess what? Stephen Hawking being able to use his Lou Gehrig's disease to engage in threesomes and foursomes with underage girls.
Oh, okay. Now you're going to get me sued.
All right. Maybe not.
I want you to apologize for that.
Phil.
I want you to apologize for that, or I'm going to hang up on you.
I apologize, I have no knowledge of that at all.
You just got a problem with him, don't you?
I'll tell you this much. It wouldn't surprise me if Stephen Hawking was nightly involved with young women. Let's put it that way, all right?
Adults.
Yes, adults.
Okay, you know, I don't know why I even took your phone call tonight.
Oh, here comes the lecture.
No, well, yeah, because just that comment you made a moment ago, and all of this other stuff about Lou Gehrig's disease and what Stephen Hawking, and discounting everything that man has ever done because you're jealous that he got the Nobel Prize and you didn't. And
you heard me when I told you the paper that I wrote.
Yeah, I wouldn't know what that's about.
Well, what? I said the paper that I wrote with Sergei Gavrilov from the Moscow Institute was on the principle of multiples at the time of the Big Bang Theory. That is, multiples in the extra-dimensional. Well, you don't know what I'm talking about.
Of course I don't know what you're talking about. Why would I know what you're talking about?
Well, then why does Stephen Hawking get all the love?
Stephen Hawking gets love not because he's so groovy with his theories on the black hole. Nobody understands him any better than they understand you. Stephen Hawking is interesting to people because he has overcome this terrible disease, because the man has been featured, you know, because of the terrible challenge of that disease, the media's been interested in him, and they've interviewed him, and they've talked to him, and they've produced television shows. It is a way that we have as human beings, and frankly, I find this to be a very nice thing about being a human, at least a human in our culture, where we raise up people who achieve against all odds, and we do that a lot. And
a guy like me, what do I got to do? Go around. So what I ought to do is go out and do something crazy, like take an axe to my face, and then walk around and go, look at how my face is trucked up. But hey, I've got to do. Boy, you—that is a very weird thing to say, Phil.
No, the weird thing to say was what you just said right there.
What?
That you'd take an axe to your face.
I called in to try to smooth over things, and there you are laughing again. If there was a fast lane to hell, if there was a diamond lane to hell, I'd throw the dummy out of the car and sit you there.
I don't know what that meant.
If there was a diamond lane to hell, I'd throw the dummy out of the car and sit you there. You know, man, you know, and don't you dare put him back on the air.
Give me calls back.
Don't you dare put him back on the air. I'm done with him and his stupid bullcrap. he's got a problem with Stephen Hawking because Stephen Hawking's paper got published and Stephen Hawking got the Nobel Prize. And this guy's paper, which however important it may be, and maybe it's the greatest thing since sliced bread, I don't know. But Stephen Hawking got all the love because of
on account of the Gehrig disease.
Lou Gehrig's disease, yeah. What do you mean, Gehrig? You don't even know who he is, do you?
Uh-uh.
He was a baseball player.
No, I know that, but I don't know much more about it.
He was a baseball player that lived in the 30s, and he got this disease, and they named it after him. Now,
was that the first time they ever seen it?
No, I don't think so.
Why'd they name it after him?
Are both of you guys going to gang up on me now?
No, but why'd they name it after him?
Yeah, it's not the first time.
I don't think they named it after him. I think what happened was nobody just sat down in a medical symposium and said, now, and let's now name it the Lou Gehrig's disease. I think it had a name. And I think that when Lou Gehrig got it, he became the most prominent American ever to get it, maybe the most prominent human being on Earth ever to get it. And so suddenly everybody was familiar with it because here's this guy that everyone followed in the sports pages every day, Lou Gehrig of the New York Yankees.
Oh, he played on the Yankees?
Yes, he played on the Yankees. And so, wow, what's wrong with Lou Gehrig? He's got this disease, and probably, you know, the average man being the average man said, well, you know, you mean Lou Gehrig's disease. That's what they probably called it. Now, it probably stuck, like so many other things.
Do they have a disease like the name after a person?
I don't know.
Measles.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What do you mean, measles?
That's named after a guy.
Measles is named after a guy?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Who?
Just like a guy named Measles. Bob Measles or something.
Bob Measles, huh? How do you know that?
I'm just saying it stands to reason. What are you going to call a measle for?
You don't know that for a fact. You just decided to come out with that.
No, I'm pretty sure.
You're sure that measles is named after a guy?
Yeah.
Bob Measles.
Bob or Bill.
How come they don't call it Bill Measles disease?
They used to. And then a guy said that, you know, it's just measles. Meaning it belongs to measle.
So what was his name, Measle?
Yeah, his name was Measle.
You know, bud, you're making all this bullcrap up.
No, I swear to God.
His name was Measle, and they called it measles, meaning it's measles disease, and they just decided to call it measles.
Yeah.
If you're lying to me...
I swear.
I just wanted to use that line that Commander Coor uses. If you're lying...
Well...
All right, we'll be back, and Dickman, you're full of crap. I don't believe that any more than I don't believe anything you say, other than the fact that, I don't even believe that, that you're coming to work. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and more on Bob Measle and how we name measles after him. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Measle.
Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Now, I don't want anybody to get mad at me. There's people that sometimes tweet me over there on Twitter, and they go, what is it with you and gay this and gay that? Don't you understand, Mr. Hendry, sir, that those of us in the youth generation, we don't care at all about gay this, gay that? And I sometimes will say to them, well, that's interesting because, you know, most of the people who support gay marriage are younger, not older, and they don't have a problem with it. You seem to have a problem with it. No, we just don't talk about it at all. Well, it turned out he was opposed to it. He's young, and but he did come, you got it, from West Virginia.
All right.
So, I'm kidding, but... So I don't bring this news story up to make anyone angry or upset with me, but I'll tell you this, that it was Rick Santorum, and he was at a university addressing the crowd. He was at the University of New Hampshire or a school in New Hampshire? Once again, my printer has failed me, ladies and gentlemen. I apologize. He got booed off the stage. And that's what it says here, booed off the stage. Now, whether he, in point of fact, got... Whether, in fact, he really got booed off the stage, I don't know. But listen to what he said. He said to them The fact that I got a gay marriage question at a college crowd really shocks me. For the most part, his audience was booing, not laughing. Now, if you know anything, if you've demographically looked at this issue, it doesn't matter what side you're on, that's not the point. The point is, if you look at the issue of gay marriage, you find that the support for it comes from younger voters, not older. Older voters, and perhaps it's understandable given the, you know, the difference in age and the difference in attitude and social attitude and so forth, you find that the support for it is from younger voters. So why he would be surprised at this question surprises me about Rick Santorum, but then I've never considered him to be all that socially bright. Now, there's a social quotient as opposed to an intelligence quotient. I guess there's a bunch of quotients, but that has to do with, you know, just how aware are you of the world that we're living in and the American people themselves. I'm sure being a conservative is not the problem, but if you, whatever you are, conservative or liberal, you got to get out there and you got to smell the coffee, man, and, you know, get on the street, as they say, put the boots on the ground and figure out just exactly whether or not your boots were made for walking.
These boots are made for walking, and then someday they will.
Yeah.
But,
go ahead.
One of these days these boots are going to walk all over
Bill Measle.
Get out of here, you idiots. All right. Rick Santorum anticipated he would be pressed on his conservative views on same-sex marriage and legalizing marijuana, and the college crowd in Concord, New Hampshire, didn't disappoint him. Said Mr. Santorum, I'm surprised I got a gay marriage question to a college crowd. That really shocks me. For the most part, well, he was joking, but nonetheless, for the most part, his audience yesterday was booing him, not laughing, particularly when Santorum compared gay marriage to polygamy. The gathering was billed as a forum for college students and was held at a conference center. Santorum's remarks sparked a contentious back and forth between the candidate and the college students during the course of an almost hour-long question and answer. Well, what about three men? Santorum responded to a female student who asked him about his position on gay marriage. What a stupid thing to say. What about a man and two women, Rick? How about that, you know? If reason says that if you think it's okay for two, then you have to differentiate with me as to why it's not okay for three. Because we have a law against polygamy. Santorum initially welcomed the exchanges with several students. Then he tried to move on to other subjects as the audience interrupted and cheered the questioners. The former Pennsylvania senator said he welcomed the state's legalization of same-sex marriage because it was decided by the legislature. Still, he defended his position to keep marriage a union between a man and a woman because I believe we are made that way, the way God made man and woman and man and man and come together, union, children, blah, 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 and provide the best environment for children to be raised in. I think that's something society should value and do-do-do-do-do. All right. Now, because I'm not trying to discount what he's saying, but haven't we heard? We know where he's coming from. The reception was an anomaly of sorts for Santorum, who arrived in New Hampshire last night to large and receptive crowds fresh off his second-place finish in the Iowa caucuses. At his other events yesterday, he connected with his audience, focusing on his economic prescriptions and his personal narrative of coming from a Catholic working-class family with immigrant parents. Hey, I come from a Catholic working-class family with immigrant parents. Well, maybe not working-class.
Didn't work at all.
Mostly. Medical marijuana, then he went on about 40 minutes into the question. The audience clapped when another student asked Santorum whether as president he would allow state gay marriage and medical marijuana. I don't believe that we can have 50 definitions of marriage, just to say that we should have 50 definitions of what life is. Pressed on his stance on medical marijuana, Santorum mistakenly identified the drug as a narcotic before being corrected by his audience. I don't know my medical marijuana laws very well, he joked. Still, he called the drug a hazard to society. These guys that are just doing the anti-marijuana pitch to remain cool in the eyes of grandma, I don't know if that's going to be a good idea, because that's why they're doing it. You know, Santorum on any given day probably could care less whether weed is legal or not, but he wants to make sure that he looks good in the eyes of the established, sort of the established voter base, which it tends to skew old. And that means marijuana is bad. Okay, why is marijuana bad? Well, you know, it's a hazard. Why? It's a narcotic. No, it isn't. Well, shut up. I just think it's bad. See, that's where you start to sound like an imbecile. All right, fine. You can't answer the question. Just say it. So we know that he can't answer the question about medical marijuana. Okay, great. Number two, the gay marriage, same sex, whatever. These guys that are opposed to it, they keep coming with these smart-ass responses, you know.
What do you mean smart-ass?
Well, you know, what about three men? I don't think that that is an intelligent response at all, any more than, you know, 50 different definitions of marriage is a response. No, there's not 50 different definitions. I just think a lot of these guys figure they can say these things and they're going to be groovy in the eyes of, you know, the established conservative voter base. All right, coming up, we are going to do a best of Phil Hendry hour. We apologize, but we have had our phone system go down tonight. There have been simply no ability to take phone calls. I have to go and, you know, take a shower because I'm soaked with sweat and I can't breathe. All right, we'll see you tomorrow night, though, guys. And the phones will be fixed. Join us 10 o'clock Pacific, 1 o'clock, 1 a.m. Eastern, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.